Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to see everyone here this morning. And as we begin, if you've got your Bibles, open up to Mark chapter 4. What Wes just read is going to be a portion of our lesson. I'm going to move this just simply because I will fall on that, and then I'll have to borrow Dick's boot. And he is using it currently. But before I get started this morning, I just wanted to, I typically don't tell jokes, but I do like to share a story every once in a while. And I was reminded of a story about a community in northern Minnesota, that was it's a tight-knit community, and they were... there was a large population of Irish Catholic and an equally large population of Swedish Lutherans in this community. And that's kind of where all of the, community political lines and all that were just, drawn down those lines of either Irish Catholic or Swedish Lutheran. And, and there was this one particular prominent Irish Catholic family who had an Uncle Paddy, as many of them do and did. And he was quite liberal around the Guinness, and he was known to take a nip here and there, and he got later on in life, and maybe it was cirrhosis of this or the deterioration of that, but Uncle Paddy was at death's door. He was on his deathbed, and he was and people were concerned with him. And it come to find out that at this time the family learned that Uncle Paddy had converted from Irish Catholic to Swedish Lutheran. And they said, well, Paddy, what are you doing? Why would you do that? Why would you convert to, after all these years, and here you are at death's door, and now you've converted to Lutheran. Why would you do that, Paddy? And he said, well, I got to thinking about it. And if one of us is going to die, better one of them than one of us. And in a long line of tradition of telling stories before a talk that has nothing to do with what I want to talk about, other than the fact that a lot of times we misunderstand or do not get or completely misrepresent the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is something that we are a part of, not that we want to be a part of. But the kingdom of God is something that we are a part of. If we are, striving to be in a relationship with God and allowing that to take over and allowing that to be the defining factor of our lives, and if we're seeking His rule, His reign, we are a part of the kingdom of God. And this morning, I just want to take a break out of I do a lot of series and this and that, and this morning I just want to talk about this one chapter, Mark chapter 4, as it relates to the kingdom of God and that, and the reign of God in our life. And over, scripture, the kingdom of God is more than anything. It's talked about in agrarian terms. And this chapter is no different. And it's not because there was, a large degree of farmers in the area where Jesus was teaching and all of that, although there were, it's that nothing really compares to describing the nature and the reality of the kingdom reign or the kingdom rule of God, like nature taking over this planet. And so as we look at Mark chapter 4, I just want to give you something today that as we struggle through this relationship, as we struggle through this reign of God existence in our lives, today is really just about getting a hold of just some things that maybe this week you'll think, that sounds familiar. That sounds like my life. That sounds like the struggle that I'm having. That sounds like the confusion that I have a lot of times when it comes to my approach to God. And so this morning, as we look at Mark chapter 4, I just want to ask, what shall we say about the kingdom of God? Or what should we say that it's like? The reason I named, that's the title of the sermon, and it's long when it comes to sermon titles, but, and it's not really catchy, but Inasmuch as I get to pick those things, that's what I've chosen. What shall we say about the kingdom of God? And the reason I chose that is because if you look at Mark chapter 4 and you look at 4 and 30, Jesus has spoken three parables about the kingdom already. And then he's like standing around with his friends and he's talking and they're listening. And some of them are scratching their heads and like, what in the world is he talking about? And then he says, and I just kind of picture Jesus kind of with a smirk or, you know, just sort of, you know, I don't know. I see Jesus more as, you know, not as a this stoic, pious figure, but more of a, you know, almost a, you know, kind of gigging him. He says, now what shall we say the kingdom of heaven's like? He's almost saying, you're not going to understand it when I tell you. But what? Now what can I compare the kingdom of heaven to? Let me see. Well, maybe it's like this or maybe it's like that. Jesus spoke in parables all throughout his ministry. And I think sometimes he kind of either was just so bored with the fact that they just didn't get it. He was just so annoyed by that. He's just almost joking. He's like, all right, now what can I say about it? You know, I've already told you it's like this. I've already told you it's like that. You didn't understand that. When you really didn't understand that, now what am I going to do? So he says, okay, what can I say the kingdom of heaven is like? Or what parable should I use to describe it? So Jesus understands that he's trying to get us to understand is that the kingdom of heaven isn't something that we can define so much in our life, but it's really something that has to be described. It isn't something that, you know, it's kind of like, you've ever tried to explain what a banana tastes like? I mean, think about that. Somebody asks you, what's a banana taste like? It's like a banana. But, okay, well, what does that mean? Well, is it sweet? Well, it's kind of sweet, and it's kind of this. It's kind of, you know, it tastes mushy. I mean, you know, that mushy's a taste if you're eating a banana. But, I mean, so the kingdom of heaven's a lot like, it's not something that we can define as much as it has to be described. And something that has to be described, you have to experience it. You have to live it. You have to taste it, feel it, touch it, you know, breathe it. You have to be in it to describe it. And that's what Jesus is over and all telling us. And of all the chapters of Mark, chapter 4 teaches specifically on the kingdom. One of the things I love about Mark is that for years, up until the 50s, Mark was thought of by commentators to be just a purely episodic gospel. Just one episode to the next, and it had no flow to it. It didn't really have any kind of a theme, but the more and more that you study, you find that it's got some of the most subtle yet most powerful themes. And Mark, the way that the chapters have been broken up by scholars over the years is fascinating to me because it really captures, they did a great job in Mark more than any other book, I believe, in Scripture, of capturing the themes at chapter breaks more in Mark. And chapter 4 in Mark is all about specifically the kingdom. And some of the tools that Mark uses by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit are fascinating as well. And one of the things that he goes through Mark chapter 4 in this area where he pieces together these stories that probably weren't told back to back like he records them, but he recorded them for a specific reason. And that is to say that the optional kingdom rule of God is mysteriously available. One of the things that we have to understand as we experience the kingdom, as we go about trying to describe in our life as a living description of the kingdom is that the optional, and it's very important to understand that the rule of God, although sovereign for us as in a love relationship with Him, it's optional. The optional kingdom rule of God is mysteriously available to us. And it's not mysteriously available in that we don't know about it, but it's mysteriously available in that it's really hard for us, even when we are in it, to fully wrap our minds and our hearts and our thoughts around it. And it's really hard for us, even when we're in it, to put parameters on it, to put boundaries. And the kingdom rule of God, although we try hard to limit it, it's really limitless. It is truly limitless. a mystery as far as how far reaching it is. It's truly a mystery of how the kingdom rule, the optional kingdom rule, works in our lives. So what I want to do is take this bit by bit and look at Mark. So if you've got you got your Bibles, look at it. One of the things we're going to do is we're going to look first at verses 21 through 25. Now, I'm not skipping over verses 1 through 24, but basically in verses 1 through 24, it's Mark's addition or his take on the parable of the sower. You know, the farmer goes out to sow the seed. The word of God is the seed. The soil represents the different stages or conditions of the heart. And he says he throws the seed and some falls here and it doesn't grow, and some falls there and it grows and dies. Some falls here, it grows and dies even quicker. And then some falls over there and it grows and it produces 100-fold. The whole point of the parable of the sower is that the kingdom rule of God is optional. The kingdom rule of God takes place where the kingdom rule of God is invited. Where the kingdom rule of God is. Now, the kingdom rule of God is tenacious and it'll spring up in the cracks and the crevices, but the reality is that unless you want it, unless the soul, the heart, the condition of that soil wants it, it's not going to take over. And that's the love relationship. But he says, look, the kingdom rule is mysteriously optionally available. That's what the first part of that's talking about. And then he comes to this verse 21 through 25 as Wes was reading. He says, you don't put a lamp under a bed. You know, and in those days, historically speaking, he's not talking about a lamp like we have on the tables outside where you plug them in and turn them on and they shine no matter what. I mean, if you put it under a bowl, you know, if you put an incandescent light bulb hooked up to a power source under a bowl, it's going to shine light no matter what. Now, the light's not going to get very far, but it's going to shine no matter what. But the lamps that they had, oil-burning lamps, if you put them under a bowl or if you put them under a bed, it wouldn't be long before they would burn out and there would be no light available because they would run out of oxygen, and then they would just go out. The point he's making is that the light that we shine, the light that comes from us, it's not going to just shine up until it runs out of border, and then it's going to be contained in there. He's saying if it isn't given eternal room to shine, it will go out. You see, he's describing path. Remember the soil or the seed that fell on the path? The birds came and ate it. The seed that fell on the thorny soil sprung up, but it was choked out. The seed that fell on the rocky soil sprung up, but the sun withered it. So yeah, you might shine for a second, but as soon as you try to hinder it, as soon as you try to box it in or put some parameters on it, as soon as you try to conceal it, then it's going to be gone. See, the kingdom of God is all about glory. And see, the kingdom of God is all about, you know, part of the kingdom, the optional, mysterious kingdom rule of God is about glory. Now, it's not our glory. It's not saying, look at that lamp. You know, if we're the lamp, the light, as John chapter 8 says, is God's glory. He says, I am the light of the world. If we are the lamp, if we're the lamp and we're allowing God's light to shine out from us, then it's all about glorifying God. No one says, no one praises the lamp. They all just bask in the light. They just enjoy the light. They just read from the light. They just see their way because of the light. See, the kingdom rule of God, if we're gonna allow the optional, mysterious rule and reign of God in our life, we have to understand that first of all, what Mark is trying to point out here is that A, the kingdom rule is mysteriously available and it's about glorifying God. If at any time we want the relationship that we have with God to illuminate or to glorify us, then we're not in the kingdom rule. We're not in His kingdom. We're in ours. And the problem is that when we refuse to shine, we refuse to glorify God. You know, if you think about this optional rule, this optional reign, this this mysterious available reign of God. And sometimes we think, well, sometimes I'll shine and sometimes I won't. And because maybe I'm not cut out for that, or maybe I'm not, comfortable with this, or I don't want to, you know, what God is saying and what Mark is trying to get across to us is like, look, we are the lamp. And if we don't shine, we are refusing the glory of God. We're refusing God. So if we say we are in the kingdom, we're in a relationship, God's mysterious, available rule of God is upon my life, and yet we do not glorify Him, then we're not really in that. I mean, we can say we are all we want, but if we're not shining, we're not glorifying God, and probably we're under a bowl, and the fire is out. The second thing he talks about. So the kingdom of God is all about glory. Okay, the next thing in verses 26 through 29 I want to look at, the kingdom of God is out of our control. I love this little parable. He goes on, you know, and Mark has stacked these parables up in between these big stories here at the end, in the beginning. He says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Sounds familiar. Agrarian, natural, day and night, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. And then he makes this curious statement that I don't think we really believe. We might believe it, but we don't agree with it, which is kind of the same thing. Though he does not know how. Now, if we go back to the metaphor of the seed is the word of God, and it grows in our hearts, which is the soil, which, by the way, he says in the soil, you know, all by itself, the soil produces grain. First the salt, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. Okay. Well, the neat thing about that, the curious thing about that is that the soil, all by itself, which is our heart, which is the condition of our soul and our will that we have surrendered over to God. All by itself, without our effort, without our tending to, without our concern for, it says, whether he gets up or sleeps. The thing about Jesus says, it doesn't matter. Once you're willing, once you are willing to be under the optional kingdom rule of God, he said, and the word of God gets in your heart, once you are willing, the rest of the kingdom rule and where it goes is out of our control. This is whether we stay up and we worry about it, whether we go to bed, whether we don't worry about it. Soil, the heart, the will of the surrendered individual is out of God's control. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much we try to put our control, our intellect, no matter how much we concern ourselves with, it's out of our control. There's nothing that we can do to advance the kingdom in our life, in our own strength. There's nothing that we can try to do or to stop doing. There's nothing that we can try to make available or to keep secret. The remember what Wes read, that the light will shine in the darkness. The what is secret, it will be made, will be revealed. There's nothing that we can do to advance the kingdom in our own strength. There's nothing that we can do. It's about surrender. You see, the more that we try to affect the kingdom, the more that we try to enhance the reign of God, then the less the kingdom will exist in our life. Because the kingdom of God is about surrender. It's about giving up. It's not about defending our rights as this. It's not about making our point as that. It's about surrender. That's what Paul says. He says, look, I know that you're not, he tells the Corinthians this, he goes, I know that you're not spiritual, and I can tell you why. He says, first of all, look at all the lawsuits among you. Look at all the lawsuits among you. Well, but I was done wrong. Well, okay, wouldn't you much rather be done wrong to the glory of God? Wouldn't you much rather lose some rights or lose some privileges, lose some monetary gain to the glory of God? Just be done wrong so people will see that it's not a control thing for you. It's a surrender thing for you. So you want to know if you're spiritual or not? How important are your rights? Would you fight for them? Or just surrender them to the will of God? Slaves, I know in Christ we're all the same, but stay slaves to your master, to the glory of God. And masters, be good to your slaves. So the kingdom of God is out of our control. That's why he uses this metaphor. Nature just takes over. Nature just sort of takes over. I mean, we can put concrete down and try to subdue nature. What grows up in the cracks in your driveway? A lot of nature. Nature does. We can do all kinds. Nature just has this way of taking over. I mean, we had a house in Montgomery City, Missouri that was, I was probably 60 or 70 years old. It was our second house we ever bought, and Vic and I moved into it, and this is where Lily was born, and not in the house, but that's where we brought her home to. But it had this block basement. And you know what we had in our block basement? We had this stand of ivy that was just coming on in through the cracks in the basement. It just went where it wanted to. Guess what I did? I cut it. Next summer, went down there. There it is, poking its little head out. Nature just sort of takes over and goes places. That's what the kingdom of God does. Verse 30 through 34. He says the kingdom of God is unconventional. He says the parable of the mustard seed. This is like, what shall we say? I mean, he's told us three different things. He's like, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? How should I describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. Now, the thing about it, the mustard seed, the mustard plant that he's talking about was not a garden plant. Now, I believe that Jesus says that. He says it's a garden plant so that people would be like, well, why would you want that in your garden? The mustard plant that he's talking about is like a weed that grows wild in Palestine. I mean, it's just along the roadside. It's like, you know, when you're driving through the country and you see those fields and sometimes it's like just all purple. Those purple flowers are just like a sea of, Wes, what are those? Ironweed. Beautiful, but it's a weed. Anybody ever plant that? Vicky, have you planted ironweed in your garden? No. See, Jesus says, you know, the ironweed plant is the prettiest of the plants that you plant in your garden. I don't plant that in my garden. I don't want that. I mean, that's beautiful when you drive by it and you see it in there, but he says the mustard seed, the smallest of the garden seeds, and the big, and so what he's saying is that it's what is mysteriously optional, what's abundantly available, but you wouldn't really put it in your garden. That's the garden plant right there. And he says it's the small, it's unconventional, this little bitty seed. I mean, this little seed that blows in the wind, that gets cast on the ground, and it's just blown here and there. And as soon as it finds soil that is willing to host it, boom, it grows, and it's huge, and it takes over, and it provides shade. And then these little birds, these little pesky birds, those birds that just come, and they perch, But see, God, he loves those birds and those sparrows that don't even hop on the ground that he doesn't know about it. See, and all those things that we would see, oh, get those birds. No. Let those birds see. Those metaphors of all of those things that flock that you didn't even invite into your life. But now you didn't invite all those little finches and birds and all those little things in there. You didn't invite that, but because of the word of God, because of the kingdom rule of God that has just exploded in your life, now all these uninvited, important guests of God are now in the shade or in the perches or in the benefit of your life. I can't control what birds come along. I wish I could. I wish I could control those things, but I can't. Ultimately, we have to trust God. It's an unconventional kingdom. We have to trust God. We have to trust God that what we see as a weed is valuable to Him. What we see as just something that should be brush hogged. He says, no. That is the available kingdom rule of God. Look at it wild and free and useful. Maybe not to those people, but it's useful to me. We have to trust Him. We have to understand that what He says will work. It will actually work. That little seed, that little truth. You mean the gospel isn't something that it takes volumes and volumes and volumes to understand and to explain? You mean the little nugget of the gospel that Jesus, the Son of God, came and lived, He died and rose again. If I trust in that, you mean that is the gospel? I thought the gospel was huge. No, the gospel's small yet potent. The gospel is little compared to literature, but it's explosive in its power. No, the gospel is Jesus in His life, death, His resurrection, His glory by the Father. That truth alone will save souls and change lives. But we have to want His kingdom glorified, though. We have to want that mustard seed, that mustard plant. We got to want the iron weed in our garden. Can I get a packet of them seed? Can I get some iron weed seed? Wouldn't that be awesome? Just fill my whole yard up with that. Wouldn't have to mow as much. It'd be a lot prettier than it is now. We have to want His kingdom, the mustard plant kingdom, the roadside ditch weeds growing 10 feet tall. Nobody makes hedges out of mustard plants. We got to want His kingdom glorified. So what does Mark do? Mark, I think in your order of thing, yeah, I love sandwiches. How did I put this? It's not, you know, that thing right there. Yeah, that. What did I put on here? The optional kingdom rule of God sandwich. Y'all like that? That's what Mark 4 is. It's an optional kingdom rule of God sandwich. I was hungry when I wrote this. The rule of God is subtly yet abundantly available. I don't know what kind of sandwich that is, and I'm not sure what those red things are, but the rule of God is subtly but abundantly available. That's the first parable he talks about in the parable of the sower. It's very subtle, yet it's abundant. It's available. He starts off Mark 4 with that piece of bread right there. The rule of God, subtly, abundantly available. And then he says, the rule of God, God's rule glorifies God. He puts that in there. And then he says, God's rule is not controlled by us. It's not something that was defined in our parameters. It's something that we experience and then describe. And God's rule plays by God's rules. And then he comes back to say that the rule of God is powerful in those to those in it, but scary to those outside of it. And that's the last story he tells. You see, he starts out parable, 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 parable. And then the whole thing is like, and you want to see what it looks like? You want to see what the kingdom rule of God looks like? That day, evening came, and the disciples, verse 35, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, he took them along in the boat. And there are other boats, also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. His disciples woke him and said, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? You still have no faith? You see, the kingdom rule of God. And then read what the disciples said. They're like, oh, who is this guy? Even the wind obeys him. Even the waves listen to him. He said, look, guys, the people, you let that mustard seed grow. You have this big, giant bush of a mustard plant growing in this wild and inviting and accommodating and uncontrolled growing in your life. and you let it glorify, you let God's rule glorify God, and you let His rule play by His rules, and what's going to happen is that other people aren't going to understand it, and they're not going to know what's going on, and it's going to lead you into some places that would scare the liver out of others, but you are in complete and total peace, knowing, hey, it's the kingdom rule of God. What do you expect? I expect the unexpected. But don't you care if we drown? Not really. I mean, can't you hear Jesus say, Lord, don't you care if we drown? No, I don't. I don't care if you drown. I really don't care if you drown. Because if you drown, you're going to be in heaven with the Father and the angels. And if you don't, you're going to be here with me rowing this here boat. So relax, and can I get back to sleep? Kingdom rule is powerful for those who are in it. It scares the daylights out of those who are outside. It scares them so much that they sometimes want to kill those who are in it. But that's another sermon for another day. This morning, where do you stand when it comes to the kingdom rule of God? The kingdom rule of God in your life, is it glorifying God? Are you trying to fit it into conventional rules of this world? Are you trying to make it more attractive to those who are seeking something attractive, or are we just letting the kingdom rule be wild and free, abundantly available, and life changing? This morning, if you want to experience that, if you want to know what it's like and then be able to describe it to others, it's abundantly available. It's optional, but it's abundantly available. Whatever your need is this morning, if you want to confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, be baptized, have your sins past, present, and future, and your conscience washed clean before God, let us know. If you want to be restored to that relationship, let us know that as well. As together we stand and as we sing.